we would buy them, but they don't market them that way. Like
No, they don't.
they could actually make an adult Lego line, you know what I mean? I don't know. Do it not in that way. That would be painful, it seems.
I'm not gonna touch that one.
Hey there! Welcome to the Horrible Show for Wednesday, September 22nd. This is the video game podcast for HorribleNight.com, and I'm your host, J-Devil, Justin. And tonight I am joined by Mr. Ethan in Indianapolis. What's up, Ethan?
Hey, not a lot.
And Miss Christina, also in Indianapolis.
That's right.
I think that's your dominatrix name from now on, Miss Christina.
Actually, people call me Miss Hall sometimes, and I like that because if you say it quick enough, it sounds like missile, and I would love to have missile as a nickname. Who wouldn't?
I think you just got it.
Missile.
If we can combine missiles and jade tigers into something awesome.
Jade missile.
Tiger.
Tiger.
Anyway, tonight we are missing Cole, who is still traveling throughout the Midwest right now, and we had such a good time last week with our debate format, and we felt we'd revisit that, but also give Ethan a chance to shine. This will be an entire podcast dedicated to his favorite subject. We're going to actually debate zombies and zombie-related video games tonight. But before we do all that, we're going to run through our threesomes of the week, where everybody chooses three forms of media that have had their attention in the last week, and we talk through those a little bit. Then to our on-the-spot question to warm us up. Jump into our zombie debate that I will be moderating this week. Wrap things up with HorribleNight.com updates and any last-minute shout-outs before we take off. So let's get rolling with our threesomes of the week, starting with Mr. Zombie. Ethan, what had your attention last week?
Well, going right along with the zombie theme, I got into Dead Rising Case Zero this weekend. I spent a huge amount of time trying to figure out a network bridge between my computer and my Xbox, and once I figured out it was really easy, 5 hours later I felt like an idiot. So all that resulted in a 6-hour playthrough on Saturday, which I did everything you could possibly do on that game. I played it 6 different times. I got all the achievements. I haven't done that with a game for a long time. I'm missing one achievement. But I hope to get that soon.
Do you have a Windows computer?
Yes.
Okay. I would hope that Microsoft is making that easier now.
Well, I went into it thinking that I had to get into my router, change my IP allotment, set up the UPnP,
nerd,
save, do all that kind of stuff.
That's all I heard was nerd.
I'm not even going to say anything else.
It was hard, but easy.
It was okay. Tough job. It should have been a lot easier. So I've been playing that. I'm pretty actually. I'm
You're pretty.
Up
you are pretty.
Huh?
I said you are pretty. I'll give you that.
I do my best. Those manicures do really go a long way. I'm pumped up for Dead Rising 2, but Case Zero has, increased that if that was at all possible in the beginning. So I'm pretty excited for that. And really? I really thought that New Vegas was going to be the game that was going to steal my attention. But I don't know. I think Dead Rising 2 may be able to compete with that.
I think the timing of those will work out, that you'll get a little bit of both. But what's your favorite weapon combination so far?
Right now, I like the chainsaw paddle. that was impressive. It was a lot of fun to cut, 25 zombies in half at the exact same time. That was enjoyable to me. So
nice.
But moving on from that, I downloaded a Dimitri Martin CD of stand-up comedy. He is probably one of the funnier guys I've downloaded as of late. I laughed all the way home. I've listened to it a couple times since. That is a his dry delivery is awesome. It's very different from, you know, the Mitch Hedbergs and the Jim Gaffigans, but he's still a hilarious guy, and I wish I'd see a little bit more of him. I know he had a show on for a while, but I haven't seen that.
He's almost funnier visually than just audio wise though. Like all the sketching stuff he does. I love his Comedy Central show.
Yeah, I thought I first saw him on Comedy Central, and it was funny because he even had Eugene Merman show up, you know, out of the blue, and that was pretty funny. I mean, again, I was surprised that it translated as well as it did to CD, or to audio format, but still, I laughed the whole way. So, it was a good pickup, you know. Napster, even though you all don't believe it exists, it does. It's fun, and it's
there. You go buying illegal music again.
But I know I'm going to get arrested for doing something that's correct. I don't know. Last, with the Halloween season coming up, and for me, Halloween starts about September 15th, so I get into the mood, and I've been watching The Haunting on Discovery Channel, which is, they're basically all the same, and the acting's bad, and there's a huge discrepancy between the actors playing the people that the stories are about, so you'll have a very attractive group of cult members on screen, and then once you actually interview the cult members, they aren't so much. So it's pretty funny to see that, and that show has gone from being interesting to just being kind of a comedy thing. So that's on during the day, and when I happen to work from home, that's what I'm watching.
Very cool. Christina, what's been having your attention lately?
Well, Halo Reach was all last week. I didn't think I was gonna get it at midnight, but Inner Nerd was calling, so ran down, got it, had a GameStop. Walmart actually had the best deal. It was like $20 back, and yeah, I think we talked about that last week.
Who buys video games at Walmart?
Well, Target had
the
same deal.
Well, I wasn't. The only reason why I went to Walmart is I was with my friend. He hadn't pre-ordered it, and he wanted to get the not the Uber Nerd Edition, but the Middle Nerd Edition. So
I got the Middle Nerd
GameStop
Edition.
The GameStop was out of them. You know, unless you pre-ordered it, there was no chance of you getting it at midnight. So Walmart had a ton of them. And when we went in there, they gave him a free $20 gift card. And then we got posters. And true that. And we got posters. And we got beanies with the Halo Reach.
Oh yeah, the beanies.
Oh wow, that's pretty good.
If one of you doesn't want the beanie, we were ripping on the beanies last week. If one of you doesn't want one, let me know.
Alrighty.
I'd like a beanie.
I probably won't ever wear mine. So
sweet.
Yeah.
I bet I have some game related stupid collectible that you would enjoy. So I'll be on the lookout.
Sweet.
Trade.
Let's see. As far as TV shows go, I started watching Aeon Flux, or Aeon Flux, however you pronounce it.
The original
Peter Chung,
MTV?
The
what?
Original animation, yeah. Okay. The series, I don't know what year that was, but it looks dated. It sounds dated. But yeah, I watched that, and I've never been a fan of Peter Chung's style. I think the characters are always very grotesque looking. I think the way they move is disgust. I really do feel nauseous just looking at his artwork.
I think his name
but
sounds
but I've never
bad.
Actually yeah, it probably is.
Peter Chung.
Who has a last name? Chung. No. But I finally watched it, gave it a chance, and I just went away after a couple episodes saying, what the fuck? Because it was even more fucked up than I could have pictured. It made no sense. It made absolutely no sense. It was a lot of abstract stuff, kind of in the same vein as Salvador Dali. And nothing against that, but you know, if you want to tell a story, then tell a story. If you want to confuse people, then confuse people. Don't do both. Don't do both.
You're going to confuse people.
This
make
man,
sure you don't have a story.
Yes.
Okay.
This guy has got to be, like, very sexually disturbed, because just the imagery and these characters randomly, like, make out with each other and stick their tongues in each other's ears. Like, in the middle of this episode when they're mowing people down with bullets, and it makes no sense. So, yeah, if you would like to be confused, please, by all means, check it out.
I have a request. I want you to watch the Aeon Flux movie that they made recently.
Oh, now that I kind of do want to watch it now just to see.
Yeah.
Did they manage to make any of it make sense?
Yeah.
I'm not sure what the story is other than there's a guy and a girl.
I've seen
and
that
some
movie.
Other crazy. Yeah. Yeah. So, looking forward to that one. And
that show
movies,
gave me nightmares.
The guy and the girl show?
What?
In the pizza place?
Yeah.
Never mind.
It will. movies, I watched The Wrong Guy, and yeah, I'm sure you all have seen that. What? It is a... You have not seen that. Seriously,
oh, I'm
yeah,
thinking
I
of that. I'm thinking of the.
Seen that.
I'm thinking of the Will Ferrell comedy that was out. The other guys. Sorry, what is The Wrong Guy?
Okay, The Wrong Guy is David Foley, who is one of the kids in the hall, who I still to this day have a massive crush on. He's just adorable. He's just fucking adorable. But
he is not adorable in Postal. Have you seen that?
Huh?
He's not adorable.
Oh, no, I've never seen that.
Ugh.
I'll have to check that out.
Ugh. Yeah, sorry.
He made this movie. He like, wrote it or directed it, produced it, a whole bunch of things, and starred in it. And I watched it several years ago and, like, absolutely loved it, and I bought it. And I made someone watch it at a movie night, and then I realized how terrible it was. So I revisited that the other night. So nice. Greatly enjoyed it. If you would like to watch a bad movie, as well as a bad TV show,
good recommendations.
Get The Wrong Guy. Thank you.
Two things you didn't really
Justin,
like, and a game that you feel mediocre about, but are obsessed with.
Actually, Halo Reach, I'm pretty damn obsessed with it, and they with the achievements, the daily challenge, the commendations, the armor unlocks. I mean, there's just a lot of shit to unlock, so that was very smart of them to keep addicts like me online every single day, every single week. So, yeah, I am quite addicted. I'm disappointed by the campaign, but still enjoying it.
Cool.
So, and Justin, like...
Yes.
Like, what have you been, like, doing and or
like,
whatnot?
Like, recently?
Like, recently-ish.
Okay. I think I have about three things I've been doing recently-ish. So, yeah, I'm as obsessed with Halo Reach as Christina is. I won't dive too much into it since I wrote the review the other day that's up on the site, but did want to highlight the fact that what's really got me hooked right now is the competitive arena modes and matchmaking, especially the doubles two-on-two matches. That's... going online with just one friend that you're strategizing with against two strangers from wherever, all those matches seem to be really, really competitive, and that's where I get the most enjoyment out of matchmaking for Halo, and also limits the noise that from all the other random, like more global matchmaking sets that are out there that you don't have to really deal with, you know, the racists and the 12-year-olds and the 12-year-old racists. So I like to try to avoid that where possible.
That's you.
Yeah. Welcome to the podcast, dick. TV, a bunch of new shows started coming back yesterday. I mean, on Monday. Caught me off guard because I usually, you know, DVR most of my stuff or download most of my stuff. And so the fact that the new seasons were actually starting caught me off guard and, but Chuck seems to be the show that I'm most excited about. It was the one I got into at the end of the season last year. And I didn't like Chuck at first. I watched about two episodes when it first came out, and I didn't get it. It was just too silly. It was too silly, mm-hmm. And it seemed to take itself more serious than I expected. But getting into, you know, the last three seasons of it... You realize that that's not the case. It doesn't take itself very seriously, and it's just a fun show with, you know, a relatable geeky guy that gets into spy stuff and has the hot chick from Mass Effect 2 in it. So, which also creeps you out if you realize that Miranda in Mass Effect 2, they actually modeled her face after her on the show. So That was a little bit weird.
Oh.
And then let's pimp a little bit of Indianapolis events. Orange was this past weekend. If I don't know if either of you have ever been to Orange, but
yeah,
quite the art and music party is the best way to describe it. And it just gets bigger and bigger every year. And if you didn't check it out, it happens every third week in September every year. And it's definitely something you have to experience. And, you know, I think it's the type of event that other cities could pick up on really easily. And it's nice that it's coming out of Indianapolis. So Orange Indy is the site, and Orange is spelled with a J. If you want to check out what's actually been going on there. So we're going to move on to our on-the-spot question of the week. Very simple this week. We're going to rate these items from worst to first. And how you choose to rate them in that category is up to you. But we're going to rate zombies, ninjas, pirates, and vampires. So Ethan, go.
My rating is based on how pissed off I am when I see people dressed like them at Halloween. Vampires, number one, because of Twilight. Pirates, number two, because every frat boy on the planet dresses like a pirate. Ninjas, number three, because it kind of freaks me out a little bit. You don't know if it's a real ninja or a fake ninja, and if it's a real ninja, you're in trouble. And I get excited to see a good, solid zombie walking around, especially somebody that's put a lot of effort into it. However, there's a lot of people that put minuscule effort into it, and thus that makes me upset as well.
Very understandable. I totally relate to the order you put those in that time. Christina, what about you?
I'm rating mine in order of cleanliness. Zombies would have to be at the bottom. I mean, they're falling apart. They're rotting. I mean, they're gross. Vampires, I just picture a lot of blood everywhere. Hard to get out of things, you know. Not in my nice white floors. Pirates, you know, with the alcohol and all that, you know, pillaging and whatnot. And then ninjas would probably just be pretty damn clean, I would think. Unless this is during a battle, in which case many people would probably be cut in half. But I think they're pretty good about being, you know, vanishing without a trace and all that shit. So.
Seen but not heard.
Yeah.
I have a similar similar rating scale, because I rated these based on how good of house party guests they would actually be. So zombies would be the worst, because there's just no reasoning with them, and they just would bump into stuff. And next would be pirates, because they're asshole drunks. So, but at least you can, you know, at least communicate with them more than zombies. And then ninjas, they'd be a completely safe party guest. They just wouldn't be all that fun, because, you know, they would just sit there in silence and, you know, every now and then throw a smoke bomb down that would confuse people. So, but I think if you could find a reasonable vampire, I think they'd be the best house party guests, just because they've been around for so long and have a lot of stories to tell. And, you know, they're pretty social beings, if you can get past the, you know, the fact that they look at us as food. But I think, you know, if you welcome them into your house, hopefully they'll be polite for long enough that, the party would be a good time. So
many movies have that premise, and they always end so badly too.
What movie has the premise where they invited the zombie to the vampire to a party?
Well, the idea of inviting a vampire in and trusting the vampire, that's like every single vampire movie ever made. They're like, oh, he seems nice. He's a different kind of vampire. He has etiquette.
Has etiquette.
Same vampire.
He doesn't have etiquette. He's just fancy.
Yeah.
It's easily confused.
Lots of ruffles and lace.
Oh. Okay, let's move to our debate. So.
Wrong.
You're so difficult already.
Sorry, I'm warming up.
She's already won, as far as I'm concerned.
All right, the main debate is actually going to be between our resident zombie fan, Ethan, and the resident zombie hater, Christina, and I'm going to jump in. We're going to get into some game-specific stuff, and I'll jump in when necessary. As a zombie hater, Christina hasn't played all the zombie games, and that's understandable. But we're going to start with a kind of an introductory question, and then kind of like last week, we're going to play three or four different games that will break apart the content a little bit. We're going to talk through zombie games and zombie habits and kind of pit zombies against other types of enemies and discuss whether or not some of the borderland zombies that are in games, whether or not they're actually zombies or not. Ethan was pretty excited and was such a good MC last week. We thought we'd let him talk about his favorite subject for an entire podcast. So let's start here with the intro. And we're going to start with Ethan. And Ethan, I'm pretty sure just across the board you would prefer every game to have a zombie in it. And that's basically my perception of you. So just tell me why zombies should be in every game.
You know, obviously there's games that, you know, it wouldn't benefit from zombies, such as sports games and a puzzle game. Well, yeah, puzzle games could too as well, actually. Never mind, just sports games. I think zombies kind of bring about a challenge that is much different from most other games. I mean, it's you have to be cautious of your surroundings. They're not exactly the most dangerous one-on-one, but it's the whole group mentality. And it's always kind of strange to be fighting against something that, you know, 5 minutes before was your friend. You know what I mean? So
I've been there.
It's an interesting kind of I kind of go into it deeper, but it's kind of a cool sociological aspect to it, you know, is what would you do to survive, and you know, can you detach from the human quality of something in order to make it through the night? So I always like that, you know, one against all odds, and kind of that kind of strange fascination with killing a bunch of people and not having remorse about it.
So it's really the sociological side that draws you to it?
There's something weird about it. I mean, you have to kill the zombies, you know, and even if they used to be people, you know, you're kind of doing it and you don't really have any repercussions from it, and you can kill them in huge quantities.
And so where is that strength when it comes to video games? Like, as why they're effective enemies?
I think a lot of video games do a really good job of developing, especially zombie games, of developing, you know, a situation where you can tell that at one time normal human beings existed in that setting, and to feature the zombies, adds that element of, you know, that kind of strange juxtaposition between, I'm using that word again, between, you know, what was and what is now, and kind of that apocalyptic setting in a familiar location. And I always just think that's just really interesting, and kind of develop your own history of, you know, who the zombies used to be at one point, you know. And again, I love fighting a bunch of shit at the same time.
Fighting a bunch of shit, that is... usually a major draw to video games for me. All right, Christina. Now, tell me why zombies should never be in a video game.
They're so boring. They're just dead people, lifeless people walking around, but still somehow alive. And, they're not attractive, you know? Just got bits of them falling off. They're just not pretty to look at. The sheer amounts of them are, I don't know. I don't get a lot of pleasure in playing games when you've got thousands of one thing coming at you. And I guess maybe that kind of ties into my dislike for post-apocalyptic games, because I think I just hate hopeless things, hopeless situations. Right. So zombie movies and zombie games are always feel so hopeless to me. I mean, you're fucked. Even if you get out alive, like, you're it. That's it. You know, there's no life after this.
So you would rather the zombie hordes be replaced by singular, pretty enemies that you could kill?
A very attractive enemies, yes.
So if there was like a boy band patch for Left 4 Dead, you'd be a fan of that?
Oh my God, NSYNC! If I had just swarms of you know, I wasn't even into the boy band thing. I think I had just kind of outgrown that when they had started.
I'm sorry, if it was full of Kids in the Hall.
Oh, yeah. If swarms of David Foley were coming at me, then yeah,
All right. Well, I'm a little bit surprised. Ethan likes the sociological side, and Christina hates zombies because they're ugly. I thought it was a little bit deeper than that.
It is. I mean, it's just the strategy. I mean, I've played a little bit of Left 4 Dead and Dead Rising, and there's no variety. It's just the same thing. They keep coming and they keep coming and they keep coming.
I think that's on the box.
Yeah, think...
yeah.
And I think it's also on the box for the zombie porn, but I won't get into that.
Ba-dum-bum.
All right. Dirty jokes aside, let's move into our debate games. We're going to rate a few of the major zombie series recently. Starting with Left 4 Dead, then we're going to move to the Resident Evils, which I will handle as Christina hasn't dove into those, and then the first Dead Rising. So let's start with Ethan, and Left 4 Dead is a series. You can just combine 1 and 2. Luckily, they're pretty similar. But give me a rating 1 out of 5 of what you'd give Left 4 Dead.
As in the zombies in there, I'd give a 5 just because of the different types of zombies that you face and kind of how they play off of each other. And I thought it was a pretty cool scenario, and it made it a lot more difficult as opposed to just fighting the straight up walking, bumbling undead. You've got all kinds of different things to worry about.
Yeah, I like that. Let's mix that up a little bit. Sorry, Christine, I'll give you a little bit more time to think. But rate the zombies and then the game as a whole, like the series as a whole. So 5 on the zombies, Ethan. What about the series and gameplay of Left 4 Dead?
Gameplay, I'll give a 4 on that one. Okay. I mean, it was fun, you know. Not a lot to it, but it was fun.
Okay. How about you, Christina? How about those zombies in Left 4 Dead?
I'll give him a 3. At least there was some variety. As far as the games go, I guess, I don't know, I'm not big on the strategy thing, and I really hate playing as the zombies because my playtime is so short.
Hopeless, and you're ugly.
Yeah, because I'm ugly, you know, and the playtime is so short. It's like, okay, spawn and set up and try to catch them off guard, but you die so quickly, and then you have to wait another, like, you know,
feels too much like Counter-Strike to you?
Yeah, well, no. Counter-Strike games at least move quickly. Just from the time I died to the time I respawned and the actual time I got to play as a character was very small when you're playing the zombie side. So, I'll give it a 3 as well.
All right. I have a feeling 3 is going to be high on your scale, actually. I was going to say...
That's extremely high.
All right, we'll come back to you, but we're going to move on to Resident Evil, and we've broken this up into... kind of the classic Resident Evil series of Resident Evil 1 through 3. So, Ethan, let's start with the zombies of the first 3 Resident Evil games.
You know, nostalgia aside, I give them probably a 3, actually. They didn't really do too much for the zombie genre. You know, just the basic same old, same old. Game-wise, I love those games, and no matter how dated the graphics look, no matter how bad the control scheme was, there was just something about them. I will always stand by those. I give them a 4.5, even looking back.
Nice. And Christina, jump in with questions when I get rolling here, if you would.
Sure.
As far as the zombies for me in Resident Evil 1 through 3, I'm going to give them a 4, more for the nostalgia factor, just because... they kind of put zombies back on the map for video games. You're right, Ethan. They didn't do anything new with them, but they were as, you know, traditional as zombies get, even if they were kind of virus born versus, you know, any other origin. So, and the games themselves, I give actually a 3.5. Resident Evil 1 is really, really strong. If I was rating Resident Evil 1, I'd give that a 5, but the 2 and 3 just didn't do anything for me. They were really, really repetitive, and it just there was something amazing about the first one that didn't hold up for the other two games. So let's move on to Resident Evil 4 and 5, because the series evolved a little bit and changed up the zombies. So, Ethan, rate the zombies of Resident Evil 4 and 5.
You know, I almost have to give them a 2.5. It was a unique challenge, a unique enemy, but to me, it strayed a bit too far away from the zombie genre. I think that they just were too, they were more mutants. They had way too many human-like qualities to really say zombie. So I give them a 2.5. I was a little disappointed to see the end of zombies in Resident Evil, to be quite honest. Game-wise, they were great action games. I had a lot of fun with both of them. If they weren't called Resident Evil, I'd give them a 4.5, but because they were called Resident Evil, I have to go with a 3.5. They were just too much action, not enough survival horror for me.
Well, the zombies themselves, I'm with you. I'll even go lower. I'll give them a 2, only because at the beginning of Resident Evil 4, he doesn't even realize that they are zombies. Like there's a question about it because they do seem so human-like, and they're more enraged, and I think you're right. They move so far away from what zombies are that the series changed in that moment. And but on the other hand, as far as the games go, 4 and 5 are fantastic action games in my opinion. It isn't traditional Resident Evil, and I prefer the feel of Resident Evil 1, which I would have given a 5. But I will also give these two sequels a 5, actually. That doesn't enrage you at all, Ethan?
You know, no. I mean, that's just such a tough one for me. I mean, they were such great games. I'm just like one of those people that, you know, you attach yourself to an underground band, and then as soon as they get famous, you almost feel like you have to give them a lower score just because you knew what it was like before. And they didn't have the same feeling for me, because with 1 through 3... I mean, I researched, I looked for books about it. I mean, I dove into those games like no other game. And 4 and 5 just really didn't do that for me. I feel like they put everything out on the table and there wasn't as much mystery to it. You know, with 1, you know, you kind of thought about, you know, what happened before the mansion incident, you know, that kind of build up to it. And 4 and 5 to me just seemed a little bit more, you know, pressed for action. And then that's fine, but just, again, that name, attaching that name to it, you know, took away from that.
So, if they would have gotten rid of the name, you would have been fine with it. Because I think you're right. It is a little bit deceiving. I wish they'd build it more that it wasn't survival horror and it was an action game. But I can't deny how much fun I had with that, with both those games. And I replayed Resident Evil 5, one of the most of this current generation of consoles. So, all right. Christina, we're going to invite you back into the zombie questions because I know I know you're just hungry for this. That was a zombie pun, so first of many. But let's talk about the Dead Rising series, which was one of the first games on the Xbox 360, let alone the first zombie game on the Xbox 360. But it has a very divisive type of game in that it doesn't have a lot of traditional current game gameplay elements to it. So Christina, starting with you, let's rate the zombies first in Dead Rising.
Zombies a 1. They were predictable and you know, slow, and there were tons of them and they weren't pretty. And for some reason I just didn't get the other people that you had to fight within the game. They weren't even zombies. They were just like crazy people that happen to be in the mall. So
have you ever been to the mall?
I don't.
You went to Walmart. How can you talk about that?
I don't remember being attacked by an evil clown juggling chainsaws or shit like that. But you know, I wish you had that experience. So I won't say anything more on that.
So what about the game then?
As far as the game goes, gosh, I'd have to give that a 1.5. Gotcha. There was part of me that liked the demo. I think it was just fun to be able to run around a mall and pick up shit and kill things with it.
That is fun.
I just like that concept. But it, as opposed to the other zombie games where you have to wait until you find a knife or a particular kind of shotgun. So I like just being able to pick up anything, even like CDs, and chuck it at them. So, when I finally did play the game, I still have not been able to get past the first tier or the first chapter, I guess. So,
I think those zombies represent the zombies of Dead Rising represent everything that's wrong with zombies to you.
Yeah, yeah.
Fair enough.
Just a lot of them.
And ugly.
And ugly.
Ethan, save the zombies of Dead Rising.
You know, I'm actually going to give the zombies of Dead Rising 3.5. One, the magnitude of them was just insane, and it was the first time that a game really threw as many zombies at you, which felt, you know, more realistic, because, again, the challenge of a zombie is not the fact that, you know, it's super strong or super fast or it has weapons. It's the fact that, you know, there's so many of them and they overtake you. So, you know, the zombies didn't really – they weren't new zombies. They were, you know, comparable to Resident Evil 1 through 3 zombies. However, there was just so many of them. It was so cool to see, you know, literally hundreds of zombies in front of you. Game-wise, I'm going to give it a 4.5. Nice. Simply because I grew up on Dawn of the Dead, and that game was as close to that movie as you can possibly get. It was fun. You know, it wasn't super, super deep, but it kept you playing. You know, there was all kinds of modes you could unlock. It had more of that old school kind of arcadey feel. It had humor, you know, it wasn't too complicated, but then again, you know, you could make it complicated with the survival mode that got unlocked at the end, which was a challenge to say the least. And there was stuff to find. You know, you could explore them all, you could find new things. You had a time limit, which kind of sucked, but also kept the action going, you know, and prevented you from getting too distracted with just killing zombies. It was a welcomed addition to my Xbox catalog, and I just can't wait for Dead Rising 2.
Nice. Well, we'll get to that one later. We're going to move on to our next game, which is the fill-in-the-blank game. So I've got a couple sentences here where I want you guys to just fill in the blank with a word of your choosing, and then we'll get into why you chose that. So the first phrase, the only good zombie is a blank zombie. Ethan.
The only good zombie is a digital zombie. Basically because there's a romantic idea about zombies taking over the planet, but factor in disease, you know, your loved ones being killed and the stench, and it just probably wouldn't be all that much fun.
So no real life zombies for you, even though you may be the most prepared man on the planet.
Even though it's almost like, you know, being a firefighter, but really not wanting to go and fight fires if you didn't have to.
Nice, nice.
Have Christina. You read the zombie survival kit?
I have read it and I own it. Book?
Nice. He yep. wrote
oh
it.
Oh my god.
He's writing a sequel.
Please tell me now. I'll take that one step further. Have you actually been training?
You know, I don't
entire
even know.
Life.
Be honest.
I feel kind of like I have, yeah. You know, I'm ready. I'm ready. I'll say that. I'm ready.
I'm following him. That's all I know. It's a first person. I am dropping everything I have and going to get behind Ethan when the apocalypse comes. So it's my best chance of survival. So
see, even though I can't stand zombies, I still have somewhat of an appreciation for people who read that book. And that's the nerd side of me. That's the role-playing side of me. It's because my best friend does the same thing. She's got the book, and like she will answer you seriously what weapons she would bring with her and how much weight she can carry and how long she can sustain a run. And it's just the amount of thought that goes into something that is non-existent is kind of funny to me.
Never mind. We'll get into something else. I need to know your word, though, Christina. The only good zombie is a blank zombie.
Non-existent.
Okay. Hater. You don't even need to explain that. Let's keep on keep on moving here. Christina, you're going to start this one off. Zombies are killed best by blank.
Shotgun.
Why?
That just seems to be the only weapon that worked for me in those games. I always go with the shotty.
But what about if it was in real life?
Shotty. Okay. I would do the same.
Okay. Ethan, zombies kill Best Buy.
The zombie romantic in me wants to say Gatling gun, but to be all honest, I'll say the natural progression of time. You know, they'll eventually rot. They'll eventually no longer be able to move, or they'll be frozen, or they'll be consumed by wildlife. Why take a chance? You know, hold up for a little bit, wait a couple weeks, which is about how long it takes for a human body to rot, and you should be back to normal life or as normal as possible sooner than you thought.
So wait, you just really disappointed me, because now your zombie survival kit book is one word long. Wait.
Essentially, I Christina was talking about people that really take it seriously.
What are you training for?
I'm training just in case. I mean, there's going to be a situation. If you're stuck in a mall and you have to get out, obviously, yeah, you need to have some sort of survival skills. But, you know, the survivalist is intelligent above all else and doesn't go
build a bunker
for no apparent reason.
Why didn't you get a construction degree?
Huh?
I just don't. Why did you get a construction degree and build a bunker?
That's a good point.
Why are you a marathon running linebacker when you just want to wait? I'm sorry,
Chainsaw. How about a chainsaw?
Okay, yay, chainsaw.
And there we go.
Ethan's answer was chainsaw. Okay. My world is restored. Let's move on.
What can I say?
This debate is about keeping me happy as the moderator. All right. Our one movie question, Ethan, what's the best movie with zombies in it? Blank. Yeah, whatever.
Anyone that says otherwise is incorrect. Dawn of the Dead.
The remake, right?
Actually, the first one.
Okay, I'm
sorry. I love the remake, don't get me wrong. That's probably second, but the very first one, it took what the Night of Living Dead offered, and it just expanded on it, and it really brought in that human element, which, you know, in a zombie scenario, humans are probably your most dangerous enemy. So it just, the way they focused on, you know, more than just the Living Dead, I thought was really cool. And Dawn of the Dead remake is a close second.
That is deep, man. What about you, Christina?
Shaun of the Dead for me. I think one of the only zombie movies I've actually sat through, and the only one I liked. It was funny, and I mean that's the only reason why. It was I guess, yeah, I don't like those hopeless movies. Heck, I don't even like, aside from some bad acting, I don't really like the third Terminator movie because of that hopeless feeling. But,
there's a lot of other reasons to hate that movie.
I know. But it was very entertaining, and I find, I can't even remember his name. What's his name?
Simon Pegg.
There we go. I find him very funny. So, yeah. The comedy zombie movies always seem to get really serious at the end, and that bugs me. It even did it in Shaun of the Dead, and I don't know. I don't know why they do that. I would rather them just stay in the comedy zone, but that's just me.
I mean, it was one of the first comedy ones. Now, I want to evolve this question just a little bit for Ethan, just because I'm curious, but not to downplay Dawn of the Dead, and you know, it set the stage for what zombies are to everybody. I mean, that mall scene still is the de facto scene that everyone thinks of when they think of zombie movies. And but with Shaun of the Dead kind of being the comedic route that it went, and being pretty well received, and Zombieland coming out more recently being well received, and kind of being in between the two, I guess, in a comedy tone. Which one would you take, Ethan?
Over Zombieland and Shaun of the Dead?
Yeah.
You know, I actually preferred Shaun of the Dead. I liked Zombieland, but Shaun of the Dead did a good job of being tongue in cheek as opposed to being outrageous. And they did a really good job with the characters, and even when it got serious at the end, it did a really good job of wrapping it up and making it not so serious, you know, once you came to grips with what happened. I won't go into it, but
One thing I have liked in the Simon Pegg movies, Shaun of the Dead and Hot Cops,
different movie,
is the surprising amount of gore when they had to use it.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
I appreciate
That one, there's a pizza looking scene in Shaun of the Dead when they're pulling that person apart like a cheesy pizza.
Oh, yeah. Well, a cheesy intestine filled pizza.
Yeah.
All right. Back to video games. What is the best game with zombies in it? Christina.
I guess only having played two or three. I guess Left 4 Dead 2. I thought it was an improvement on the first. I still enjoy playing it. Not something I feel a huge urge to play unless I'm playing with someone. So.
About you, Ethan?
Pretty obvious, Resident Evil. It began the whole zombie craze. The mansion and how that just evolved. I think they represented zombies well, and that was the first time that I saw zombies as being caused, that I actually really understood the idea of a zombie being caused by a biological factor, and entering in that human element of it, it just made some cool scenarios.
Gotcha. I'm going to throw Christina a sub question here, because we're about to move on to kind of debate some of the gray areas of zombies, but Christina, before we got on tonight, we talked a little bit about that there are different types of zombies in other games. So if we're stepping away from the traditional zombies, open up your catalog a little bit, and which zombies have you enjoyed the most?
I kind of find the characters, the splicers in BioShock, to be zombie-like as far as as soon as they see you, they start charging towards you, and they're deformed, and, you know, they seemed a bit zombie-like. And the way you kill them, I mean, they just kind of, you know, blow apart. So that's Halo, for sure, the Flood.
we'll pick one. Pick one, because we're going to get into that stuff a little bit later.
Oh, true.
I was just trying to figure out which characters you enjoyed the most that were zombie-like. So BioShock or Halo?
I'd say splicers in BioShock.
Just curious. All right. Moving on to our next game, basically we've set up some opposing views here, and I want you to pick a side in these debates. The first one is this was rooted in our offline debate of whether the Doom Marines were actually demons or zombies, and just it leads to the question: demons or zombies? And Ethan, what do you think?
You could answer that. That's kind of a weighted question, but who would I rather fight?
Yeah.
Zombies. Plainly because I think zombies have there's a more confined sense to what a zombie is and what a zombie can do, whereas demons can be all over the place. Huh. You know, demons are enjoyable, but I just think that there's so much gray area in reference to demons. You know, a demon can be a invisible force field. A demon could be, a crazy little girl, you know, but zombies are zombies and they're well defined.
So you only like enemies that you understand.
I like enemies that I feel can't have all kind. Because a demon can do basically whatever it wants for the most part. I mean, if you really break it down, and I don't like enemies
Please,
that
please.
Have just all kinds of powers.
Yes, sir. What about you, Christina?
I would rather fight a demon. I like that they can kind of be all over the place, and I wouldn't know what to expect, but that versus zombies, I think I would get more enjoyment out of putting down a demon.
Okay. Well, it's
been a rotting human.
It's given me a little bit more to think about when that Hellgate opens, and I'll see what's coming through first before I decide who I'm pairing up with. Moving on to zombies and video games. Some of them have zombies as the focus, and some of them have zombies as just kind of a complementary enemy. And which scenario do you prefer in video games, Christina?
Zombies as the complimentary.
As little as possible.
Yeah, just, you know, if it's like that one weird wizard guy who can summon demons and they are.
That would be a necromancer,
zombies.
Just for the.
Yeah, there we go. haven't played too many of those games, but yeah, the less the better for me.
Gotcha. Ethan.
Not because I think the less the better, but just because I think that. After a while, just strictly zombies can get a little bit dull. And Resident Evil proved that, you know, adding in a little bit of everything along the lines of reanimated enemies, I think that zombies work really well as a complement. If I had an in-between, I'd go for an in-between the two of them. But if I had to choose, you know, I like a little bit of variety. And I think Left 4 Dead did a good job of that. They weren't completely just zombies, but they had a little bit of extra in there. So just straight up zombies may get dull after a while.
So a class-based society in Zombieland would be the way, the one that interests you?
Yes.
Okay. Just learning all kinds of things. So, all right. Now the origin of zombies. Do we prefer, and I know I can already just sense Christina's interest in this question. Do we prefer our zombies to come from the more biological side with parasites and viruses, or more of the magic sides with possession and curses? And Ethan.
Ooh, that's actually a pretty tough one.
Take as much time as you need.
It really is a really tough one. I'm going to go with the parasite virus just because if zombies are feasible at all, that is the avenue that they're going to come out of. And just looking at, you know, rabies and mad cow disease and all that sort of stuff that really actually could create a psychosis that could resemble being a zombie. I think that it just seems scarier to think that it could actually happen.
See, I'm on the fence. I can't decide if you want zombies to actually happen or not, because you want to run away and wait.
It's almost like the movies that freak me out the most are the movies that are kind of based in a little bit of reality. You know, the idea of a giant corn cob coming from, you know, Neptune to attack, it isn't realistic to me. I'll never be scared of that. But just, you know, movies like ghost movies and that sort of thing just get, you know, just freak me out because there's a little bit of fact there.
I'd be with you. It's more of, I'd rather have the movie that scares me a bit than seems completely illogical. But Christina, where do you stand on this?
I'm gonna
very
say
divisive
magic
issue.
I know. I'm going to say magic or possession, really. Possession is something else that is controlling you. Yeah, I would get more enjoyment out of that.
Any particular reason? Like what kind of...
I'm a fan of things that people who are lacking the control, I guess. Like, that's like movies where the guy ends up having a split personality. Like, I love that stuff where there is something is out of their hands, something is out of control. So
you want
yes.
You want it out of control, but it has to still have hope.
Yes. There's always got to be hope, guys.
I hate hope.
Now I did say earlier that zombies was the whole concept of zombies was fictional, but there was I do vaguely remember a movie called Serpent in the Rainbow that was about a real life kind of zombie
in Haiti.
Yeah, it's a powder that would basically all your vital signs would be non-existent. Like you would actually still be alive, but a doctor looking at you would think you were dead, and then you wouldn't you'd still be awake, your eyes would be open, you'd be aware of everything, but you couldn't move, couldn't talk, nothing. And you would wake up like so many days later, and you'd have like brain damage from it. And it was supposed to be there was supposed to be a non-fictional element to it. Mm-hmm. So I've never looked into it, but
it's actually,
I know there
look
is...
into it. If you have the chance, look into it. There's some cool stuff behind it.
Uh-huh.
I mean, I can go on and on about that, but we won't. Sure, but sure. There's right. More to it.
Last pick 'em here. Very simple. Shotgun or machete? We going guns or we going blades? Ethan.
To be realistic, you're going to want to stay as far away from the zombie as possible, especially if there's a contagion within their blood or flesh fragments. So a shotgun, while messy, is going to give you the chance to stay far away from them.
Christina.
As much as I love swords and knives over guns, in a zombie situation, I would always go gun.
So it's more about it's more about just the safety and keeping the distance.
Yes.
I just thought you guys would like explosions better than decapitations, but that can be another debate for another day. All right, our last little game here. Just debating some of the borderline zombies and asking the simple question, are they zombies, yes or no? We're going to start with the Flood in Halo, and Miss Halo, Christina, kick us off.
I'm going to say yes, because they all kind of swarm at you in the same zombie-like way. And it is, there is some sort of biological parasitic origin, I guess, to the Flood. And there's some kind of collective, like one kind of, what do they call that? The mega mind or the overmind or overlord or whatever they call it.
It's not the hive mind. What is it?
It's, yeah, I think it's the overmind.
I think you're right.
And yeah, so there's something kind of controlling them. They're all, you know, doing whatever the heck it wants. But, yeah, I would say they're zombies.
Ethan?
The Flood is at that point where they're too mutated to be called zombies. If they would have stuck closer to their original form, yes, I would have said zombies, but they're just so overly mutated that they're a completely different entity upon itself. So I'm going they're mutants, not zombies, so no.
And how do you where does the whole factor of being controlled by it, like by an overmind, where does that fit in with zombies, or does it?
No.
Christina?
I would say no, almost, actually.
Did we change your answer?
A kind of... That's okay, that can happen. The Overmind wasn't introduced until Halo 2. So, in Halo 1, they were zombies. Like, you didn't know where they came from. You knew it was some kind of defense thing on Halo, and that was it. And,
I think you're prejudging zombies, then.
They exploded like zombies. You're prejudiced. I mean, they looked human. They looked human, or they looked like the elites, the aliens. So
I think, Christina, you need to hold off on labeling things before you find out more about them.
Fair enough.
Okay. All right. The head crabs of Half-Life, Ethan.
It's an identifiable parasite. Even though the person is dead, I say no, not a zombie. It's a parasite.
Christina.
I'd say no, too. Are they dead in Half-Life?
They
I had to look this stuff up. Because
they reanimate the corpses, yeah. Or they kill them. Or they kill them.
I thought they climb on when
I think
they're
still
alive.
I think they work on dead bodies, though, too. Or maybe they're just down. I don't know. Does that make a difference, Ethan? If the body is already dead versus it's a parasite either way?
That's a pretty tough one. I just think that the apparent nature of the parasite hanging off of it, you know, and also with the head crabs, they turn into eventually they morph into a further evolved creature. You know what I mean? So they don't stay like that. If they stayed like that, you might have an argument, but they move into some other dimension of mutant. So I think that's where you lose it.
I didn't remind our audience they should be taking notes, because this could be very important. the necromorphs of Dead Space, Ethan.
Oh, man. The hive mind comes into this one as well. There is a controlling force behind them, and I think one aspect of zombies needs to be that they act upon just this basic instinct. Necromorphs are close to the Flood, I think, in that, you know, they're just too mutated to really constitute a zombie. I mean, it's obviously a biological life form behind there. The people are just vessels.
Sure. Christina?
I think they're zombies. They're, from what I read, I'm not having played Dead Space. If they're dead and they're alive now,
that's kind of where I get hung up, too. I've played Dead Space, but I'm with you, Christina. Like, there's... And Ethan, I'm interested in like this whole like the bodies as vessels, parasites. Where do you draw the line? Because we've talked about that parasites and viruses is a viable origin for zombies. But how do you distinguish the human being a vessel versus being mutated?
You know, when I'm thinking of a vessel, I'm thinking of, you know, it being a pathway to a different, you know, life form. You know what I mean? So, you know, whereas the necromorphs start out as humans, they eventually evolve into something much different, much less recognizable as human. You know what I mean? So it's kind of an evolution stance on that, as opposed to, well, we'll talk about this further, but the viruses that just stay inherently inside.
Well, I think they're out of the mutated ones. I think the necromorphs are the most borderline that we've talked about.
They're closest. They do more than the Flood does.
All right. Something that Christina knows very, very well, the splicers of BioShock.
As much as I think they are zombie-like, I would not say that they are zombies. They are still human. They are just, they're crazy. They're crazy people.
I was going to say, I think if that definition held true, I think I've met some zombies in my life. Ethan.
I agree. I've known a few people that were hooked on steroids, and that's relatively close to that theme, and they seemed crazy, but they were still human enough to make somewhat rational decisions, so no, splicers were probably the least of the list to be zombies.
But would they be the closest thing you can get with still being human?
Is that
one of the examples? Like, right before you lose your mind completely?
Yeah, I mean, you'd have an argument. They just have to totally lose their mind, and not just as a crazy person, but, I mean, you know, the rationale needs to be completely gone, and the instinct needs to be somewhat gone. You know, they just need to be flesh-craving creatures to really constitute a zombie, I think.
Gotcha. All right, the last one I added this in the middle of our Resident Evil conversation. But because, Ethan, you believe that the Resident Evil zombies of 4 and 5 aren't technically zombies, but storyline-wise, it's an evolving virus. Are the Resident Evil zombies?
That is, if you would have just played 1 to 3, you would have been stuck with zombie and gone from there. But evidence has shown that actually the zombies from 1 through 3 actually evolved, the virus itself evolved in what you see in 4 and 5. And actually, there's a hint that the liquor creature featured in Resident Evil 2 actually came from human form. And actually you saw that in the remake of Resident Evil with the crimson headed zombie. Yeah, I don't know. That's tough now. They've added so much to it.
Again, I only added that question to establish the fact that both you and Christina are prejudiced. And you don't wait till the series evolves to be able to judge whether these things are zombies or not. So
no, that's 100% true.
And I think based on everything I have learned today from this conversation, I have to say that the Resident Evil zombies are mutants. Mm-hmm. So they're not zombies, and that just crushed Resident Evil 1 for me. But yeah, if we exist in a vacuum and still play Resident Evil 1, I think you're right, Ethan. Those are still zombies, but everything else is still connected to that same virus. So. Well, that's it. That's it for the debate, kids. I hope you learned everything you didn't want to know about zombies, because that was our goal. And Ethan and especially Christina, thanks for participating in the debate today. Mm-hmm. We're gonna get out of here in a little bit, but first kind of want to review what's been going on at horriblenight.com. Of course, we still have our Halo contest going on this week. Christina and I had a lively debate about Halo, and we're really interested to see who you felt won that debate, and we're giving away a 3-month live Xbox Live subscription to a member of the winning side. So go to our contest page and listen to the podcast and voice your opinion, and let us know if Christina won, who more or less sided with being tied to the earlier Halo games, versus myself, who was indifferent to the origins of Halo but enjoyed the more recent ones, and Ethan, who just really didn't care and was pretty funny as a moderator. So you can vote for any of the three of us. We also have a Horrible Night Out event coming up this Friday in Indianapolis at Dave & Buster's. There's information on our site, and we have a Facebook event page set up that you can RSVP, and want to encourage everybody to come out, invite your wives, invite your friends. We'll be gaming, we'll be drinking, we'll be eating, and we look forward to meeting some of you. And
nerding it up.
Geeking out, I prefer. I think we've had this discussion. Nerd is a derogatory term.
Geek, I'm sorry.
Thank you. And lastly, we will be back to our regular scheduled podcast next week when Cole rejoins us from California. So we'll get caught up on what everybody's been playing and get back to our normal format. But hopefully you'll see some of these debate games work their way into our conversations, because I think they work pretty well. All right. Lastly, let's get out of here with any last second shout outs from everybody, starting with Christina.
I just want to say I love the Halo's ability to record films.
Record whether that everything.
Be, yeah, everything. I mean, whether that be a campaign or multiplayer, And it all stems from that idea of like, oh my gosh, so I was playing this thing and you should have been there. I wish you could have seen it. Well, now you can, and you can go back and save it and upload it and have all your friends view it. And I was actually playing with Justin this last weekend, and there are a couple things that I just couldn't stop laughing. I got a ridiculous headshot, and I have proof.
Yeah, there are. I'll post links to your photo. Actually, no. You can check it out in our Meanwhile article. I actually used my photo from that headshot as the image for that post. So check out our Meanwhile from this week. But if you're in Halo, you can check out our shared items through the game. Mm-hmm. Ethan.
Ask me 3 years ago and I would have been a little bit cautious about this, but digital downloading is going to be the new thing. And while there are some cons to this, a big pro is the fact that, games will be cheaper, and the ability for indie companies to get in and produce some good, solid stuff is going to be a lot more realistic. So I think the idea of digital downloading is going to be a great thing for the future, and Steam has done a good job in really being the real strong driving force behind that. So I look forward to some of the possibilities in the future.
Did that come from a news article?
That came from your Shiny Subjects.
Yeah. There's a news article posted that for the I think it was the first month or first quarter. I'll link to the article that there are more digitally downloaded PC games than bought in stores for the first time. So it's that's the way it's going. I don't know, Ethan, if they're going to end up being cheaper. I have a feeling they'll keep them at the same price, but we will get more indie games and more cheaper options, I guess. But I think the AAA titles, I wouldn't be surprised to see them bumped up in the near future, even if you're only buying them digitally. But with those ridiculous Steam sales, you never know, too. So
yeah,
I am just extremely impressed by the BioShock Infinite gameplay trailer that came out today. It's on the Xbox Live Marketplace. I advise watching it on there because that's kind of the best version to watch on the TV. But we also have it up on the site. And it's about 10 minutes of gameplay, very reminiscent of the intro to the original BioShock. But let's just say this thing put to rest every fear that I have had about this series. And I had very little fears about it. But that game is just gorgeous. The gameplay looks fresh. The city of Columbia looks just as deep as Rapture, if not deeper, and I wish it was 2012 so we could actually play that game right now. And it's crazy to think that game's 2 years away from coming out, and that much is done, and just what it's going to end up looking like. Irrational Games is they're an amazing company, so I advise checking that trailer out on the site if you haven't seen it, and that's gonna do it for today. Again, Christina, Ethan, thanks for a lively debate, and we will be back next week, and we'll bring a cold face killer with us, and hope you join us, and hope you enjoy tonight's debate, and we will see you next time. Later.
Bye.
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 Brains.
What was that?
Oh, nothing.
Okay. We'll be right back.